It is September 1st. That's First Friday, which we know in this town is the time to really go out on a Friday evening and go from place to place, from business to business, from art gallery to art gallery, and absorb the artistic possibilities of our area. One place that has been doing a lot of amazing things over the last year or two is called Marmot Art Space. It's in the Kendall Yards. It's on Summit Parkway in Kendall Yards. Of course, there's always a lot going on in Kendall Yards anyway. And the artist being shown, whose opening is tonight, is Alfredo Araguin, and he's right here. Good morning, Alfredo.
Good morning.
And already you have a more interesting name than most of the rest of us have around here, so let's just get right to it. You're born in Mexico?
Yes, I was born in Mexico. The name actually is Basque. A family of Basque people came to Mexico in the 1860s, and that's part of my family, and that's where the name came, Arreguin, yeah.
So were your family sheep herders?
Yes.
Because I remember that fondly. I grew up in Idaho, and I think through my entire childhood, I could not drive from north to south Idaho without getting to stop on the highway because there was a herd of sheep going across the highway, which was presumably Basque sheep herders.
I make a joke because Susie's ancestors were thrown out of Scotland because they were stealing sheep. And my family grew sheep, and I said, we're a good team. You don't have to do that anymore.
You're alluding to your wife, Susan. Yeah. And so so there you were, a Basque background, born in Mexico. What was your path into art?
Well, when I was a child, my grandmother used to take me to the marketplace, and I was fascinated to look at especially all the artesanías, you know, the sarapes, the silver, the pottery. And I used to doodle around that in school when I used to fool around in the classes that were kind of boring. Then my mother started doing small little drawings, and I would trade them for candy. And then I would say, Mom, make me some more. And then she said, no, you're going to learn how to do it yourself. I don't want to do them anymore. So she told me how to do those little drawings. And when I was about 11 years old, my maternal grandfather went to the School of Fine Arts and convinced them to let me in there as a student, which all the other people were professionals. And I was fascinated because I was allowed to enter the sculpture and the dance and the poetry and all the arts in there, the music department. And experience carry on later on that very strong impression, plus the idea that I was always watching Tarzan movies as a kid, and that they were my favorites, and we used to play out in the forest outside of Morelia, you know, with all the other kids. And I always wanted to color those films, you know. I wanted to put some color in them. So when I arrived at the Pacific Northwest and I went to the University of Washington, I entered the School of Architecture because my father said, you're going to starve as an artist. And so I was afraid, and I went into the School of Architecture. And then I would go over and visit the art department. And then I finally said, well, I'm actually in exile over here. Might as well just choose what I like to do. And I changed majors, and I became one time when the counselor called me up, said to me, Mr. Araguin, I want to congratulate you. You're getting your bachelor's degree in art. I said, that's horrible news because my studio is up here and that's where I paint. He said, well, how about applying for a master's degree? And I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. That's how I end up having a master's degree in art.
And so who was that? That was your beginning in that way and at the University of Washington and studying art there and getting those two degrees. So who was right, you or your father? Have you made a living in art?
Yes. Well, my father and I were very distant, and that's one of the reasons that I came to the United States. When my book got published in 2003 and I sent him a book, all of a sudden he became so in love with me. He wanted to see me, and by then he was like 90 years old, and when he saw the book, he had to order 200 books to give to his friends because he was so proud about it. And he said, when I was showing at the Smithsonian, I called him up from the Smithsonian, and the whole family were there waiting for the call, and it was really very special. So every time that I went to visit him, we will cry and hug each other and said, well, we'll see you in the other world. And okay, goodbye, Dad. And I will come to Seattle. And 3 months later, when are you coming back? So I end up visiting him like three times a year. Susie got to be part of the family down there. And we did a lot of things together down there. I even brought her mother, Mita, to be down there. It turned out really nice. And he ended up living to be 103 years old. Mm. So then I got to go to Mexico like very often, which I didn't do in the past at all, you know.
What a great reconciliation story that is.
Yes.
And that's really nice. I'm spending time with Alfredo Arguin, who's being shown at the Marmot Space Art Gallery in Kendall Yards in the opening tonight from 5 until 8. So that's kind of the easy side to know your story, to know how you got into it. Now is to put art on the radio, and I'll describe that has a lot of details. It's in some ways pointillistic. There's lots of color, lots of patterns, often the patterns that then form the actual image. So that's how I, just looking at it from the outside, describe it. How do you describe your art to somebody who says, okay, what does your art look like? But when you can't show them a picture, when you can't show it to them.
That is what I have lived with this situation into which it is very difficult for an artist to talk about their art. They usually don't like to do it because there is a force or something that comes to you from the universe that you can't describe, you know. And it happens to musicians, it happens to poets, and curator that came from Washington, D.C. to invite me to participate in a World's Fair in Cagnes-sur-Mer, France. And he wrote the catalog for one of my shows in the Bellevue Art Museum. And he said that I was the originator of pattern painting. And a lot of people reacted very negatively because how could this Mexican guy show up here and start a movement, you know? And so anyway, the famous critic Matthew Kangas in Seattle called me a magic realist. And I have never really cared to be categorized or to belong in any of those movements because I just paint what I feel, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have a variety of subjects, and it all started with with jungles because I like I was telling you, my Tarzan movies, and then my father, as a punishment, sent me to the wilderness of Guerrero, where they were doing a dam and some water channels and stuff. And for me, it wasn't a punishment. I opened my eyes. I felt sort of like when Neruda discovered the jungles in Chile and all the marvelous and wonderful things, the exuberance of the jungle. And so that and the patterns that came out of my childhood that I used to doodle with combined the sort of style into which I express myself with that language. And it's really wonderful for me because I do sometimes a lot of geometric patterns or sometimes faces, and then stay as sort of these guys in the background. So when people look at my paintings, they're not easy to see. I have a subject matter that attracts the viewer to see the painting, but then there are other things in there that, to tell you the truth, they just come to me and I record them as they are happening. And then when I go to see other exhibitions, people, I always think, they probably think, here's the artist looking at his own work so carefully. It's because I don't remember painting those things at all, you know. And they're so refreshing to me to see older paintings, you know. Because I have moved on into with different things that I have discovered and patterning and stuff, that they always were sometimes to me more spontaneous, you know.
Well, implicit in what you're saying, I think, about the loving that place where the dam was being built, loving the jungle and things like that, and your Tarzan story is really, really intense, wonderful color. Clearly, I mean, of the works of yours that I've seen, just strong dramatic color. Talk a little bit more about color.
Well, that was interesting because when I was going to graduate school, some of the professors would say, "Alfredo, here in this area of the country, we sort of are influenced by Asia and the colors, the Japanese, the subtlety, and your colors are too bright and too intense." And I would say, well, that's something that is so innate in me. I mean, one of my favorite things as a child was to go on with my mother to get art supplies. And when I got the box of color pencils, it was like a big treasure to me to be coloring things. And since I'm that part of being a child, it will seem to me sort of to change into a palette that is not very innate for me. It sort of stops the act of creation and creativity. I think that slows down the idea that then the brain has to get involved, you know. And when the brain gets involved in it, it creates a lot of conflict in my work. And that's when I'm painting so freely, is because I'm sort of in a meditative state into which things are just flowing in my canvas, you know.
Hmm. Well, that's everything you've said rings so true to what I've seen of your work. This is Alfredo Arreguín, who's being shown at the Marmot Art Space on Summit Parkway in Kendall Yards, the opening from 5 to 8 tonight. And this amazing array of paintings. Marshall, get a little closer to a microphone there. Marshall Peterson, whose gallery it is. I assume the paintings then will be up until the next First Friday. Is that safe to say?
They're gorgeous, yeah. And I'm going to have them all month. Mm-hmm. But tonight's the night for the party and to go down and to be around other human beings that live in your city and engage with other human beings and using art as the pretext. And in this case, amazing, incredible, award-winning art from a master craftsman and master artist who's laughing right now and saying, don't say this type of stuff. But.
And who's also very entertaining and fun to be around, too.
Yeah,
so let's,
yeah,
let's
awesome
add to that. And then just a quick postscript on this. So you talk briefly about Porch Fest coming along in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It's the fourth annual. So it's once again, I mean, it's a musical event here in West Central.
Describe it for somebody who has no idea what Porch Fest is.
Well, I grab a bunch of musicians, find a bunch of really nice neighbors, and stick them together. And so it's a Saturday. It happens 2 weeks from this Saturday.
Saturday the 16th.
They're great musicians, and they're great people, and it's just an excuse to get away from those screens, whether they're telephone screens or computer screens or television screens, and get out and interact with other human beings, which is really important that we interact with our neighbors, especially these days.
Yeah. So a couple things, Porch Fest on the 16th, and then tonight opening with Alfredo Aragin. Thank you, Alfredo, for coming to Spokane.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It's really lovely to see your art. So again, that's Marmot Art Space in Kendall Yards as part of the entire citywide First Friday, and almost all the pretty standard timing for almost all of the galleries and spaces is from 5 to 8 tonight. So we'll do that. So thanks again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And what we're going to do now is